Paul and I have been working on the precession-driven dynamo problem, and here I will report on the recent results. It's almost okay. It's about 50 years ago, it was first conjectured that due to the precession, the magnetic field could be driven by the precession, the dynamo could be. But in so far, we have only established that the power required to support the geodynamo is abundant. But the question whether the geodynamo can draw on this power is still unanswered. And there are two types of precession-driven flows. One is due to the viscous interactions, coupling, say, in the sphere, you have a due to the, say, non-slip boundary condition, or in non-spherical precession, the awareness of the core mental boundary create a pressure hole force. And here we will study the non-spherical precession in a spheroid. And we use a computer code that use overlapping grid. And I will report on the numerical method and some results. And we have studied a problem in a planar layer where dynamo action is seen for strong precessional forcing. Now, mathematically, this problem can be described here. Now, our axis omega here is the precession rate. And as you see in the previous picture, this is a precession vector, but if we project to the main rotation, we have a, say, this is our z-axis, and then there's the x-axis. So we can need only to consider the precession around the x duration. So I will do this in the precession frame, that is the this container is rotating with angular velocity omega, that's the rotation. And in a frame, this is moving at the angular velocity of capital omega. Now, these are the equations, that's a typical one, but we have a boundary conditions, either non-slip or it is moving with the container. And for the magnetic field, we require just like at large distance, that B goes to zero and it's a potential field. Now, these equations present a problem. It's that near the surface, we will expect maybe there's a boundary layer and that create a problem for the numerics. So as a first step, we simplify our calculations, follow a procedure that was pioneered by Kurzweil. He first said, for this set of equations, there's a Poincaré basic state. And that's I'm writing here, basically it's a rotation plus the contribution from the precession. And you say, we linearize this equation, or we consider the deviation from this basic state. And then we subject this U tilde to a stress-free boundary condition. So in this case, we hope not to have a boundary layer near the surface. And our methods, because we are dealing with a spheroidal geometry, so we use a different method than the usual carry out for the sphere case. And we solve, say, that equations can be written like du dt plus grad p equal the right-hand side. And so we solve this in terms of Runge-Kutta scheme for the time integration. But for each stage of the Rancakata stage, we use a fractional step method. That means we solve the new U star just from the right-hand side contribution and update this to the new step. And then we solve this Poisson equations to get the pressure and then set the new U at the new time step equal to this. And that will maintain the divergent U equals zero. Now in this scheme, we have this right-hand side is all by the second order accurate central difference. So the numerical stability in this scheme is provided by explicit dissipation terms. Now to cope with the condition of the geometry, we use the so-called overlapping grid, and here just three grid systems. So here I have a top shell, and that basically I take a rectangular grid and cover on the surface, top surface of a spheroid. And this is the bottom shell. And then inside I have a cube and that fills the center. So with this grid system, I avoid the so-called pore problem and also solve the geometric condition. Now come back to because we're using this grid, and that presents a problem of solving this Poisson equation. And recently, we have developed a direct solver for this Poisson equation. And we take the Fourier series in the theta direction because it's periodic, and the equation for the Fourier series, the coefficient of Fourier series, can be solved by secret reduction. So we have three grids for the fruit. And now we have a grid for this Poisson solver. That's the spheroid coordinate. So we cover them, all of them together. And that's the scheme we use. Now computational cost, the Poisson solver is n cubed times log n, and the other operations are n cubed. So the methods can be adapted to parallel clusters and compared to say if I use this scheme for a sphere, the cost is of the same order for a sphere and as for a spheroid. Now we have applied this curve to validate, say we do the magnetic diffusion equations in spheres and spheroids, and we look at the decay rate, and they looks quite consistent with the analytical results or results from other schemes. And we also apply this scheme for the kinematic dynamos in spheres, and we try several models and they all are consistent. And here I'm going to present some results. Now, our approach can be divided into four categories. One is the linear instability of Poincaré flow. Then we can study the nonlinear flow motion of this. And then we can look at the kinematic dynamo of this nonlinear flow. And then we can look at the full MHD evolution. And we choose the parameters, the ratio of magnitude measure radius to be 0.8, and the precession rate to be 1/4. And the rotation rate is 1, so it's quite huge. And for Ekman number equals 0, this Kurzweil has worked out an exact linear solution for quadratic velocities. And he found instability in a region for C less than about 0.85, okay? And that's the reason we choose the 0.8. And here is the Hence, we started with the initial condition corresponding to Kurzweil's analytical solution. So you see that develop linearly and becomes unstable. And on the right-hand side is the plot of growth rate with the Ekman number, and it seems to be linear, and it approaches to zero, almost consistent with the value from the Kurzweil's result. And this is a nonlinear calculations, and this is the kinetic energy, and it saturates by, if I look at a small portion of that, it's oscillate. And that, the flow, next one, just show you the flow is quite laminar because the linear stage is quadratic in velocity. And I'm showing the flow on the several cuts, and that seems to be quite laminar too. And now if I look at other case with a smaller Ekman number, and the final state seems to be oscillatory. And now we look at kinematic dynamo. So at this point here, this is the total kinetic energy. I add a small magnetic field, and it will eventually grow. Okay. And the nonlinearly, this is if I started with a large magnetic field, and this seems to be oscillatory. And the right-hand side is small part of this portion. And this, again, is the magnetic field and velocity in one snapshot and show that flow and the magnetic field is quite nonlinear. And this is another calculation. If I started with the magnetic field law, then they eventually reach a steady state. The conclusion is that here is the scheme we use seems to be a practical way of studying the precession problem. And so we have a list of things we want to do. Thank you.
Well, we have time for a number of questions or discussion.
No, we haven't looked at the results in that say to the careful analysis. But if I look at this time, now this is more than a dipole because the magnetic field, the busy component is going up and that's going down. So it's not a. Now you will see this is, I have a C is quite large. So the flow, as I say, is basically quadratic. So it's not, you know, if I go C close to 1, that may have a different structure, but I don't know.
Axel?
What changes would you expect if you went from stress-free to no-slip conditions? And what is known by other people?
Well, if you know, suppose I could have a calculation with very small viscosity, and if we can limit the boundary layer to be small, I expect perhaps this would persist.
But for the dynamo and for the large scale flow, do you think that is a minor effect, or naively you would expect having rigid boundary conditions makes the processing flow more rigorous?
The flow is that here, true? Actually, the flow here you can see, on the surface, there are vortex flow, and actually this may help for the dynamo, but I just don't know. You know, we have to see what happens if I include the viscosity boundary there.
Are we clear?
I'm not sure I could see well, but I had the impression that in one of the plots you were showing that the dynamo growth rate was going down linearly with the Ekman number, right? In the kinematic stage.
Now this is the Prandtl number. So this is smaller resistivity.
Yeah, but you had one where it was the Ekman number as on the horizontal axis, I think.
Now this is I show the many image versus time. Mm-hmm. So this grow faster than that one.
Okay.
And Prandtl number is divided by, the Ekman number.
Well, I guess my question was just, here you're driving the precession by the pressure torque at the boundaries because of the deformation, right? So you wouldn't expect that the Ekman number is playing a very strong role, would you, in the dynamo excitation?
Well, you have a driving and you also have a decay. So mm-hmm. the resistivity is the important.
Okay.
I have a question. You had some hydrodynamic solutions with quasi-periodic solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what sets the time scale for the quasi-periodic oscillation? Is it
like
a beat?
This one?
Is it a beat frequency?
We haven't really get into the details yet.
Okay.
But for the planar model we have published, actually it's quite complicated because the flow, it could be two-dimensional planar model. If becomes unstable, the resonance, and it becomes 3D, and that can generate manifold. And when it's saturated, it becomes 2D flow again, so it dies out, and so it bounces back.
It's a bursting. It could be a beat frequency, I guess, between the two frequencies. Okay, do we have any more questions? You do? Oh, you're getting ready to clap. Oh, okay. Well, coffee's not ready yet, so... okay, well, let's thank the speaker again. Make it a long round of applause. I think we may have to wait a couple of minutes for coffee to be ready, but... okay, just go.